Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Wake up, it's time to go. Zach Amico's got a show. Animals are here to play. Jokes and guests to start your day. Tell the Sandman no more sleep. Eat some eggs and cook some beef. Laugh is waiting, don't be shy. Stretch your legs and touch the sky. Grab a coffee and join the crew. It's Zach Amico.
It's a Monday. Happy holidays, Zoo fans. I almost said the wrong show. Wow, look at that. It's your other boy, the international superstar, Zach Amico. And thank you for joining us here on the Morning Zoo here on the Gas Digital Network. I got two heavy hitters across the table from me today from his new special, Material Boy. It's our friend Ian Lara. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. Thank you for having me, man.
Is his mic on, guys?
Is it on?
I don't think his microphone is on.
Oh, man.
Try again, buddy. Hold on. Jorge's coming to fix it. We got technical. There we go. Try it again.
Thank you for having me, buddy. I appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. My pleasure. And from Two Goons, it's our great friend, Shay Durena. How you doing, bud?
How are we doing, guys? I'm doing good, man. Yeah, I'm excited to go into the Christmas season. I like Christmas, so I'm excited for it. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Yeah. Thank you guys for being here. This is our last day at Gas. We pre-recorded the rest of the week, so... A little senioritis, ready to fucking hit the road.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ready
yeah.
to fucking relax.
What's senioritis?
Oh, that's what they call it when you're in your senior year of high school and you stop giving a shit.
Oh, fuck yeah, when you walk it in. I love walking it in, dude.
I had it hard. Yeah. I got into college early admission.
Yeah.
So I found out in, like, November I got into college.
Yeah.
My senior year, I fucking threw out my backpack.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck do I need this for?
I quit every club I was in.
Yeah.
Teachers would, like, walk up to me and be like, hey, you have this meeting, this meeting. I'd be like, I got into college already.
Yeah.
I'm like, done.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you going to call NYU?
Yeah.
You went to NYU?
Yeah.
You were a really smart kid?
Very good at taking tests and bullshitting.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's the two most important things in life.
Not book smart at all, but I can really fake my way through.
Did you cheat?
No.
Oh, dude, I cheated. I'd love to cheat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, when I was in middle school, no, high school, I would steal the answer keys off the teacher's desk for math class, and I would scan them, and then I would hand them out to other kids. And then one time, the teacher ripped it up and threw it in the garbage, like the answer key, and I went in the garbage. I took out all the pieces, I taped them together, and then did the same thing. I was like a fucking Robin Hood in my school.
Dude, I fucking got caught taking the answer key to the vocabulary class, like the vocab book.
Oh, really?
And I got caught, and I got fucking, I got suspended. Yeah.
God damn.
One time, I cheated, and I got like a 94, and the teacher was like, "There's no way, like, you got to retake the test. I know you cheated."
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, "Tomorrow you're gonna retake the test." So I studied that night to retake it, and then I got like 102 on the other one.
Dude.
Yeah, and then he was like, no, but we're keeping with the 94. And I was like, why?
And he
like,
gave you the same test again.
Because he gave me the same test.
That was stupid. It should have been other shit.
Oh, dude, one time I for sure got caught cheating. She couldn't prove it, but she was like, you scored so high, like you never score this high.
Right.
So she made me redo a test. And I didn't study, but it was a Scantron test. So what I did is I had a series of dots on my pants that were the answers to all, like if it was dot, it was an A. If it was two dots, it was a B. And it was all the answers all the way down my pants. And so I just like came in with like a long shirt, and then I just would glance down at my pants to see this like code I had made.
But see, like that makes you more prepared for life than that test ever could.
Oh, 100%. Like, how do
There's
I get
no
myself
way
out
whatever
of this?
That test was on was something you needed.
Right.
No.
Like, this,
for life
like
skills.
This lets me know you're going to be okay.
Yeah,
like,
but
the fact that you did
that I'm that crafty.
A Morse code, Scantron cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like, because I don't know, this is weird conspiracy, Zach, so I apologize.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of public education is to weed out possible middle management and get them ready and then turn everyone else into worker bees.
Okay. Because
if you look at who funded public school in America, it's like the Rockefeller, like all these huge businesses.
Yeah.
With the idea of they want from the time you're a little kid to be indoctrinated into 9 to 5.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Lunch break.
Yeah.
You have a boss who has a boss who has a boss who has a boss. There's no chain of command where you're ever going to.
Right. Make I don't even decisions. Think this is a conspiracy yeah. theory. This is just like a good observation.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're never going to be in a position to make a decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
You're always going to have to answer to somebody so that when later in life that's your shitty factory job,
yeah.
you're used to it because you've been treated like that since you're 5.
That's yeah. pretty good.
And none of it matters. None of it. Like, a friend of mine, they have a kid, and their kid's a little unruly and, like, is doing really bad in school. And I was like, dude, don't worry. I was like, I did bad in school, and now I interview porn stars, and I make more money than all my friends. So,
But I think it matters, just not in the way we think. Like, yeah. it doesn't, like,
it's socialization.
Yeah, the socialization. Like, you yeah, doing the cheat code, like, yeah. that lets you know you'll probably figure it
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So that matters.
Yeah, that matters, yes.
But not, like, the subject.
No, the yeah. subject, the details, the structure, none yeah. of that shit matters.
It's socialization, it's time management. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think it's presented. Like, yeah. I think presentations are very important because then that's how you're going to, like, get by.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
talking your way through shit.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. 100%.
And the discipline is showing up at a place. At
yeah,
the
yeah,
same time,
yeah, exactly.
That stuff.
Now, that's what's important.
Yeah.
Speaking of conspiracies.
Please.
Are you into Agartha? Have you been do you know about Agartha?
I know nothing about
it. You don't know
that.
About
Agartha?
Oh,
I don't
you
know.
You gotta fill me in, dog.
Dude, so this is like in my timeline, like crazy. So there's a new trend, and it's like Gen Alpha, I think it is. And it's like the youngest kids are now really into Agartha, which is apparently a kingdom which is inside Hollow Earth and is like a paradise. And then in Agartha is Yakub. Yakub's in Agartha. And there's like, I think it's supposed to be some kind of white paradise. I'm not 100% sure.
You just call it paradise.
Yeah. But there's some sort of racial aspect to it. And then in all the memes I'm getting, it's Charlie Kirk, but he has blonde hair and he's telling you that you need to save Agartha. And then it's Yakub telling you that you need to save Agartha. There's some sort of racial element to it that I don't quite understand, but the kids love it. They love it.
I'm fascinated. Friends in the booth, if you could give me some more info on that, because that is... So it's, do you go there when you die?
So it's, I think it exists now,
okay.
and it's about trying to get there. You like unplugging from the Matrix, you can go to Agartha. And it's not just Agartha itself, because Agartha itself was a previous conspiracy that it was like a civilization in Hollow Earth.
Uh-huh.
But now it's been co-opted into this like, yeah, Charlie Kirk, Yakub, white paradise kind of thing. And drinking white monster is part of it too. I don't know what it is, but it's some sort of power source.
Okay, so I have a lot of friends that are going.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends who look like they should have a white monster in each hand.
Oh, dude, yeah, 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 100%.
Like Pete Angelo, like
yeah,
those guys, like they have the trucker look.
Yeah, dude, like if you look like I thought it was a joke, but my buddy, one of my good buddies, is a lifelong construction worker, and he's like I quit Monster. He had to like go through like a Monster rehabilitation to like stop drinking Monster. He was drinking so much Monster.
Now the guard that like is, I mean, this sounds fun, white paradise. But do people believe this, or is it just a fun thing
to talk about? Yeah.
I think some like really really crazy people really believe it, but I think the young kids have co-opted this and now everything is so unserious that like this idea of like sort of like a white exclusive a paradise where Charlie Kirk is still alive
right.
is like the most taboo thing you could talk about, and so they're like, oh, this is the funniest meme. So, because nothing is serious, to
right?
Me. Yeah.
But why does it got to be white? Why can't it just be like cool people?
I don't know why. I think because it's racist makes it more taboo, therefore funnier.
Yeah, okay,
that's why I think
that.
They like.
Yeah, I think it's the for the lulz.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So this is the idea of Hollow Earth.
Yes, this is idea of Agartha inside Hollow Earth, but I don't. That's only one aspect of the meme. This existed from. A long time ago. So there's what's his name? You know Admiral Bragg, right?
Okay.
Do you know Admiral Bragg?
I don't believe
so. Oh, dude. Admiral Bragg, this is a big conspiracy theory. He went to Antarctica for an expedition. It's like the last expedition to Antarctica. And he came back, and then he did one public conference, and he said, there are more natural resources in Antarctica than the rest of the world combined. And then he was silenced. And then he never spoke publicly again. So there's rumors that he found the tunnel to Hollow Earth. It's in Antarctica. And that's why it's like, if you look at the maps, it's like you go in from the top of the earth and kind of shit.
Okay.
That's a hilarious thing to do, because you could go to Antarctica, come back, and just say that without anyone silencing you. And everyone be like, they're silencing him.
They're silencing.
And people are like, we're not. He can talk.
you just go to like the top of Mount Everest.
Yeah,
you like, there's a titty bar up there.
Yeah. But I can't say anything else. And then just stop talking.
Yeah. Also, if you go to Antarctica and then you find nothing and it's all horseshit, you're like, you come back and be like, it sucked. You don't want to do that. Yeah. We spent fucking whatever, millions of dollars and it sucked.
Yeah, it's got to be crazy expensive to even...
Crazy to do an expedition to Antarctica? Crazy.
Yeah, I didn't even think of the fucking cost of that.
Yeah, but I don't understand the meme. I don't know if the Gas Digital folks can give us a breakdown of the meme, but well, it is...
I'm sure there's like a meme breakdown site. So is it like Slender Man, though, where they're like into it?
They're into it. Yeah. And then now some kids are making... I found, because it got so deep into my algorithm, there would be like very small Instagram pages that have like 1,000 followers that are like Westside High School. So it's some... was specific high school, and it would they put their different teachers up, and they'd be like, accepted into Agartha, denied from Agartha, and that's the thing that's going on.
Yeah.
So that's how you're cyberbullying your teachers now, by letting them know who goes into Agartha, who can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's fucking... That... I love it. I love every part of it.
Yeah.
I think, was it you I was talking about? I was deep on the guy who was astral projecting.
No.
There's an artist who claimed he could astrally project.
Okay.
And they would give him coordinates on Earth.
Yeah.
And he would just meditate and tell them what it looked like.
Yeah.
And he was nailing it.
Oh, really?
Damn.
Like, shit, like, that he had no, like...
Yeah.
They're giving him very specific places, and he's giving, like, photorealistic descriptions.
Yeah, there's a plant over here. It's this color.
And then they had him do it for, like... Jupiter.
Yeah.
Or one of the planets that we didn't know had rings.
Yeah.
And he said, there's this, there's a lot of storms.
Yeah.
He goes, and they have rings. And they go, it doesn't have rings, you idiot.
Yeah.
And then we went there, and he nailed it.
Yeah.
And when that happened, they classified every fucking thing they did with him.
Oh, really?
It went like in a debt. They blacked out everything that they had done with him from public.
Who's this guy? I gotta look up this guy.
An artist. Fuck. I talked about him.
He's an artist. That's crazy.
By the way, I know this is crazy talk because me and Kurt Metzger were screaming at each other about it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Was Kurt?
We both agree.
Oh,
we're both for it, but we were both just yelling over people about how cool it is.
Yeah, that is fucking nuts, dude. I did a pod where it was Kurt Metzger, and then fuck, who else was on the pod? Oh, and it was Sam Tripoli.
Okay.
And dude, the speed in which you get to the elite's fucking kids.
Yeah.
It's like
really
like,
quick. Yeah.
I did one with Kurt
before the first commercial break.
Yeah. I did one with Kurt and Dave Landau, and that was all it was.
Oh, the whole thing. It's like, and then they're doing it like this, they're doing it like this. Dude, have you guys gone to the Epstein files? You look into the files a little bit?
No, I had a busy
weekend.
I got tied up this weekend. I didn't have time. Well, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy like that, but I do go like recently my algorithm. You know that mentalist I was making the rounds on all the podcasts.
Sure.
There's like a dude that was like debunking all his stuff, like showing exactly how he did. I went down that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
because I'm like, it seems like really real. Obviously, it's not magic, but you're like, how is he doing it?
Yeah.
But then the guy goes on to explain like how he's doing it is actually really really simple. Like it's real simple
stuff.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, he did. He went on like We Might Be Drunk. He showed how he did it to those guys.
What does he do? I've been seen this.
It's a lot of like tricks. There's like tricks and stuff. Yeah. Like all of it is based on a conversation you'll have before you come into the booth to record the podcast.
Okay.
Like a lot of times, one of the guys says what he'll do is like he'll be like, "Look, write this down like in a note. Write down a name of something in a notepad, and you rip it out and keep the paper just so like when we're live, you don't try to switch it up on me. Like when I guess it right, just so you don't try to be like, no, it's wrong, because I'm gonna be like, well, open the paper.
Yeah.
But what happens is when you write it on a notepad, the name stays in the notepad even when you rip it off.
Like when you write a check.
Right. So he already knows it, and then you have the paper in your pocket, and then when he's doing the thing.
Oh shit!
But the paper never gets brought up. But you see, he showed like in a couple podcasts the people, like, they're like, and you guys never spoke? And he's like, well, just like outside when he told me to write it on the notepad.
Yeah.
And on one of the podcasts, he was like, I mean, it was your notepad that I wrote on. He kind of like talks over quickly.
Yeah.
But so, I still think it's cool. I don't want to ruin this guy's like career.
No. But he's doing it to himself. He's explaining it to himself, right?
Well, the problem with him is why the internet hates him is because he's pretending that it's like real magic. Like he's pretending that he has like a skill.
Oh,
when,
okay.
when everyone's like, no, if you're doing these tricks, it's cool as hell. Just do the tricks.
But don't say you're superhuman.
Yeah, he's like, these are superhuman things that I can teach you if you buy my book.
Oh, okay. So he's trying to sell bullshit.
that's why people get mad.
What's his name? Liver King.
That's why people get mad. They're like, the tricks are cool, but just don't say that you're like reading people.
I think that's the path to make money now. Is you see it with a bunch of these guys where it's like, you lie, you straight up lie,
right.
But you, in the process of lying, you make $20 million.
Which is great. I'm pro that.
And then you get sued for $5 million. and then you're up 50.
Yeah, you're like good. You're still good.
Yeah.
I think the thing, and I love my job here on the Gas Digital Network, and I respect everything we do.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Long live Lewis.
Supplements.
Supplements. The supplements.
So like I can't remember who it was said they were talking to Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
And he was like, kid, movies, all that shit, fuck that.
Yeah.
Supplements?
Well, A, because he's super religious.
Yeah.
Super America.
Yeah.
And he has like a program. He sells supplements.
Yeah.
And he says they cause jack shit to make.
Yeah. And
if somebody's taking them, they're not taking a bottle.
Yeah.
They're doing it for a year or two.
Yeah.
To find these results.
Yeah.
So you're selling them an astronomical amount
of things,
of
that,
products
that cost you nothing to make.
Yeah, and you just slap your name on it.
Dude, yeah, that's nice.
That I think is the, like, that's going to be the thing. Like, you know,
yeah.
On it.
This episode is brought to you by Alpha Brain.
Yeah, Alpha Brain.
I take Alpha Brain.
You need to get a product. I know, like, a lot of these influencers, they make, Alpha Brain does work, though. Alpha Brain works. It totally works, and it makes my dreams crazy.
You're, like, selling Alpha Brain?
By the way, I got my own Alpha Brain.
Trying to ring as Alpha Brain.
Hey, guys, today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Small Batch Cigar. Simple, fast, small batch. Having a cigar in the house is a sign of class, elegance, good taste. Things I don't have. Luckily, we have our friends at Small Batch Cigar to help us out. They have free shipping on every order, with almost every order arriving within 2 to 3 days in the continental United States. They have the most thorough packaging in the industry. It comes with that Bovita pack, so your cigars come super fresh. They have an amazing selection of rare, limited, and hard-to-find cigars, and you get 5% rewards points instantly. Head on over to smallbatchcigar.com today, and most people click the new button first to shop the newest arrivals. And if you use our discount code GAS10, you get 10% off plus 5% reward points. So try that out, guys. That's code GAS10 at smallbatchcigar.com. Small Batch Cigar. Simple. Fast. Small Batch. Let's get back into the show.
Did you see what the mentor, he went on Rogan. Did you see what he did to Rogan?
He guessed
his PIN code, and they tried to debunk that, and they were like, well, we honestly believe he hired a private investigator to follow Joe Rogan around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because even Joe got like kind of annoyed about it.
I mean, of all the people to, how easy it would be to look over his shoulder when he's at an ATM.
Well, Joe was like, well, I got another pin. Guess the other pin. And he kind of was like, nah, I don't do the same trick twice.
I think
it's cool, though. Shout out to him. Buy his book. I don't want him to sue me.
Yeah.
I had a friend growing up who is a lady now. Nothing wrong with that.
No, that's
good
great.
Friend.
That's great.
But when we were hanging out, we were in a band together, and at the time he was very into the book, The Game.
Oh, yeah.
That's
band.
Like the pickup?
Yeah,
the pickup artist. Yeah. Mystery.
Yeah.
But that book was written by the same guy who wrote, like, Manson's book and Jenna Jameson's book. But this is his book that's from his perspective. He's usually a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
And he basically joins this world of pickup artists.
Yeah.
And my friend joined, he got like the full DVD set.
Oh, no.
And it was called Real Social Dynamics.
Yeah.
And one of the guys in the book was the guy.
The mystery, whatever.
It wasn't mystery. It was one of Mystery's students.
Oh, okay, Mystery had a show, right? The VH1 show.
Yeah, the pickup artist show. And basically, the whole book, The Game, was kind of like how they started this movement.
Yeah.
But really, what they were doing, it wasn't about getting pussy.
No.
It was about conning losers.
Dude, that's... Sure. Dude, yeah. If you look at...
All the advice they give is basically
Say
be
hi.
Presentable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take care of yourself. Be nice. Ask questions and listen.
Dude, that if you look at, there's the Andrew Tate kind of started it. And now there's a it's waning, but there was the wave of like male self-help shit that was going on, and it really was just dudes like, who's the most insecure group of men? How do I prey on them? Mm-hmm. And then just feed them shit that makes them feel insecure about themselves, and like, I'll fix this about you. Are you a pussy? Like, if you do this, you're a pussy. So it's like, if you eat with your right hand, you're a pussy. And people are like, I do that. And if you're insecure enough, he goes, I'll fix it. And then you buy the course. And the course is just bullshit.
Yeah. But, and dude, this was like a 20 DVD set.
Yeah.
And if you paid extra, he would answer one of your questions on the next DVD.
Oh my God.
Did now your friend, who's now a she, did he previously actually pick up women like doing this? Like, did it work at all?
See, the thing is,
if it works,
he
who cares
was
if it's
perfectly
scary?
Good
already, and he was in a
just
band.
Insecure.
Yeah.
So he was a very good-looking young guy.
Yeah.
Very talented musician, but probably a little autistic.
Yeah.
And I think his problem was the initiation. So in the book, the thing, and then basically when you read the book, the game. Mystery's thing is like so learn a shitty magic trick.
Yeah, they all love to do magic. They do.
But then that became kind of a faux pas because the bitches caught on to
everyone does magic.
Oh, if somebody's coming up to me with a magic trick, he's trying to fuck me.
Yeah. No one's doing magic innocently. No.
So my favorite thing in it was for guys with absolutely nothing to provide conversationally.
Yeah.
Is just walk up to a chick and be like, did you see that fucking fight outside?
Yeah.
And make up a fight.
And then just
I've seen this one. I've seen this trick. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's a trick. I've heard about this.
Yeah, make it up just to start
a conversation. Yeah,
a thing. And there was things in the book that made sense, which was like phone number useless.
Yeah. Why?
A phone number is fucking, it's a nothing thing.
Okay. Because
it doesn't have to be real.
Yeah.
You want social media.
Okay, yeah.
Really? Because I feel like that's easier to get than the number.
But that's what you want. If a girl's like, I'll give you my number.
Different.
You want social media, and you want you never want to go to a second or third location.
Never.
No, if a girl's like, we're gonna go, because now the dynamics are different.
Mm.
So like, think about, I put it in context of us, right?
Yeah.
You're talking to a girl at a show, after show. You're the man.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't do great.
Yeah.
You were the man on stage.
Yeah.
You controlled the room.
Yeah.
You never want to go to some local yokel shithole bar,
because
now you've lost your powers.
Yeah.
And you're in enemy territory, because that bar is full of dudes who either hooked up with her years ago.
Yeah.
Or have been trying to fuck her for 15 years.
Yeah.
And now this asshole comedian.
Yeah.
Walks in with her.
Yeah.
And like, now these guys want to fuck your night up.
Yeah, that's dude. Weird. Yeah. That was, there's an old Canadian comedy road rule, which is never go back to the party. Like, if you meet a girl at a show and you're on the road, don't, and she's like, oh, we're all going back to a party at my house.
Nope.
Don't go back to the house, because then you're like, if there is some dude there who's like, oh, who the fuck is this guy? You got no backup. You're at her house with their friends, and they're like, who the fuck? Which is a rule I've broke several times.
Yeah, several times.
I've gone back to the house almost every fucking
time. You have to. You're not going to go back?
Yeah.
You're not
going
back.
These
rules are good in theory.
Yeah,
but like, what am I going to not?
If when it goes good, it's great. But if it goes bad, you're fucked. Like, fucking, what was, I won't say his name. I don't think he would care, because he's told this story many times, but I won't say his name just in case. One comic in Canada, he went back to the house, banging the girl. Girl's boyfriend comes home and is like, who the fuck is this guy? Pulls a gun and is like, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. And he manages to get out of the situation, but she drove him there and she's not going to drive him back. His phone's dead. He walks through the fucking, like, he's in the middle of nowhere. He's, like, walking along a road through the woods and shit. Gets to a gas station, is like, hey, can I please have a phone charger? And they're like, no. And then he has to walk to another gas station to get a phone charger and then charge his phone. And so he can go back to his fucking hotel, dude. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's one of those comedian stories that I'm 100% sure happened. But I think that for that story is worth going back to the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You roll the dice.
You can tell this on podcast for years. This is gold, man.
It's such a good story. He's not even here. I'm telling the story.
Yeah, exactly. It's so good. I had a comic. He was telling a story. And this is a story he didn't even tell, but he was just telling it to me at a diner. Like, he got kidnapped in Mexico, like, trying to talk to a girl.
Oh,
and
shit.
Woke up in the back of a pickup truck. And I'm like, I wish I had that story. That story is so good. I wish I could just tell it.
Yeah.
He's woke up with, like, a shotgun in his face in the back of a pickup truck. And they were like, he was like a white guy. They were asking him for money. He was like, you got the wrong white. I have none of that.
I have not. And they just let him go? Yeah,
well, they beat him up. Like, then he had to walk back. Like, he just walked back into, like, a town.
Holy shit. Did they beat him up bad?
He's like, they beat him up pretty bad. Like, he had photos and stuff. He had, like, black eyes and stuff.
Oh,
but I was
shit.
Like, dude, that story's fucking amazing.
Yeah, dude.
See, I guess maybe it's because I'm lazy or maybe because I'm a pussy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am if I'm in a group and we're going to this girl's house for a party.
Yeah.
The two things I always say no to is we're going to this girl's house for a party.
Yeah.
We're going to a bar where we work.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Or we're going down to the casino.
Oh,
all no's. All no's from me because I think to myself, I time it.
Yeah.
And I give it an hour.
Yeah.
And I go, if it's fun an hour from now.
Yeah.
I'll think about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Usually, if it's we're going down to the casino, that hour's up quick.
It's up quick. Yeah. People are like, fuck, I lost all my money. Yeah.
I never got invited to the casino. Is that something you get a lot?
I play a lot of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I do a lot of shows with casinos.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I can think of times where I've been in the room and I think I made it three levels into Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
And everyone I was on the road with lost all the money they made that weekend.
Yeah, dude. Oh, that it is nice when you hit that. My first, like, big run on the road, every chick, everything, I was fucking everything. I was trying to fuck everything. I was just like, let go out every single time. I, like, partied in dude, I got so shit-faced in Chicago. I was supposed to meet up with this couple that was at the show. I ended up hanging out with a different couple. And then they were texting me, like, hey, where you at? And the bar we were at was called Barber. And I just texted them back, I'm a barber. That's how drunk I was. Yeah. But when you when you pass the threshold of, like, oh, I actually have my laptop in my room, and I would love to go watch a movie or play video games and just chill. And people are like, yo, you should come out. Or they're always like, where's the party after? Where are we headed after? And I'm like, nowhere. I'm going home. Yeah. It's nice. It's so nice.
Some cities, I feel like you like, all right, I got to go out in this city. Mm-hmm. But most cities, it's like that. It's like, no, I'm just going to go back.
I'm just going back, dude. Yeah.
Now, with that said, I am a proponent of if you're at a bar and they go, hey, it's closing time. We're going to lock the door.
Oh, the best.
And we can smoke cigs in here.
Yes.
And I don't even smoke cigs, but I want that. Now, that is more of a me hang.
Oh, yeah.
You get that a lot, too?
Little towns? Yeah. That's if you're having a really good time, if you're good to the bartender or you know people and you're like, yeah, this place is pretty cool, like, about that.
Yeah.
That small town. Blast of music, fucking locked doors, ashtrays come out.
Yeah.
That's a night.
Yeah, I think I had that maybe like once or twice. I don't get invited to the White Paradises.
That's Maya Agartha.
Dude, that happened to me in New York. It was me and my buddy, 2018. We were here on a trip, and we're just like bouncing around all in New York. And there's a place in Toronto. I won't out the place, but it's like this. It's an after hours that's super illegal, and you smoke cigarettes inside. There's always a Coke dealer in there. And we were looking for that in New York. And so we went to a place, and it wasn't that. Then we went to another place, and it wasn't that. And then we were in line for a third place, and the guy comes out. He's like, oh, just so you guys know, we're not serving alcohol, but, like, you can still have, like, drinks and stuff. And we were like, what the fuck? We were like, what the fuck is this? Where are these? Like, and then the guy in front of us went, oh, what's wrong? We're like, this isn't an after hours. And he went, oh, you want a place where we can smoke cigarettes inside and do cocaine off the table? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, go to this place. And it was called, like, Fasha or something. It was this Irish pub. We go in there. We sit down. It hits, like, 3 or 4. They close the blinds, lock the door. Everyone starts smoking. And then we talk to the bartender, and we're like, hey, can we get Coke in here? And he goes, what the fuck's the matter with you guys? And we're like, oh, sorry. And he goes, 1 minute. And walks the other end of the bar, comes back. He goes, give me $60. We give him $60, goes back, gives us Coke. And then we were like, can we do Coke right at the bar? And he said, go in the fucking bathroom. Yeah. And the Coke was so good, dude. It was so good. It was like, you know, it's like one big rock in there, and you when you break it up, it's kind of wet still. It's kind of got like a moisture to it. Yeah.
I've never even seen cocaine.
Oh, no?
Never.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I don't do it anymore, but I used to partake.
Did you just decide one day I'm going to stop?
Yeah, you know, it kind of came along with everything else. Like the hangovers get worse. Oh, okay. Like as the partying is less fun and you need it less, like you're less insecure and you're less like I need to be going out and doing shit. And you're more comfortable with just like chilling.
Yeah.
Then it all kind of faded away. And then there was one night where I was like, okay, you know what? Whatever. This guy came up. He had coke. It was me and my buddy. I hadn't done it in probably about a year. And then we went back to this guy's place, and it was the most disgusting apartment I've ever been into. And I went, what the fuck am I doing? And we immediately left. Yeah. And we're like, I was like, I'm a fucking loser. And I was like, never. We're done. We're done.
I went back to a girl's apartment one time like that, and it was that. And there's a spectrum to what disgusting is.
Yeah.
But this was objectively like the grossest apartment I think most people would have ever been in.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like in a slum. It was in Canada too. It was like in a slum. Like it was like a slum part. I never even knew.
What province or what city?
Vancouver.
You were in Vancouver. Oh, yeah. Shitty part. Oh, were
it
you
was
in
like
the
Surrey? Like,
oh, you were in Surrey. Like,
dude, it was so bad.
Dude, I grew up out in DC. Dude, Surrey's a rough neighborhood. Yeah, that's like our roughest neighborhood.
Right. I didn't. You know, you hear Canadians, you think they're all like, soft. But they're over there, they weren't. Like,
yeah.
I remember, like,
it can get grimy.
Yeah. I was like, this is terrible. This is one of the worst things. Like, I put my hat down on thing, and I remember like I was talking to her, and I had my hat like on the couch, on the ledge of the couch. And as I'm talking, she like reaches over and flicks, and it's like a roach on my hat. She
flicked
it, and the roach like banged up against the glass and just left.
Oh,
is there anything worse than when a roach is big enough that you can hear the sound of the body?
You hear them groan.
Yeah.
Like, oh, come on. Yeah, she was hot though. That's the thing. I'm like, damn, hot girl.
What race was this chick?
I'd rather not say.
Okay, fair.
Canadian.
I'd rather not say. She was,
I've been to some, I can think of, there was a time where I was on the road with Lewis.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he calls me at 7:20, and he's like, where are you?
Yeah.
Because I never came home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm at a Juggalo flop house somewhere. I got to find my... Way back, I was at a place literally called Hatchet House, and we found it by driving up and down a block until we found the Insane Clown Posse logo spray painted on a garage.
Jesus.
And I'll never forget, my buddy John took me, we call him Johnny Brings a Bar, I've told you about him before.
Yeah.
Because he has he had a mobile bar in his trunk.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He would...
Johnny Brings a Bar, that's a good name.
Yeah, yeah, he would have, it would be like a full service bar.
Yeah.
And it was like a mesh thing that came out when you opened the trunk, and then he would move, and it would be like ice and shit.
Oh, that's amazing.
In the panel.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a pretty clear sign you have a problem, probably, right?
And like,
If you're at an AA, like,
he would back his car into people's garages and open up, and it was Johnny Brings a Bar.
That's sick, though. That's a fun guy.
Yeah, you want him.
That's a guy you want around, for sure.
And Johnny Brings a Bar takes me to this Hatchet House, and this girl runs up. First of all, it's 9, maybe a little later, maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
There's 30 people there, and everyone is just wearing pajama pants.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Like no tops?
All the dudes are just wearing pajama pants with no shirts.
Oh, wow.
And all the women are in pajamas and oversized t-shirts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And you could tell that was their daily attire.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And the girl runs out of the house, and she goes, John. And she takes out a flip phone.
Yeah.
We're well past flip phone time.
Yeah.
And goes, they let me see my son. And she starts scrolling through pictures of like a 7-year-old's birthday party.
On a flip phone.
On a flip phone.
Is there anything
more sadder? It was.
Jesus.
The saddest.
Jesus Christ.
That was the crack in the beer.
Yeah.
Of that night.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, what am I doing?
And everywhere we went, it was misery.
Yeah, dude.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Yo Kratom, home of the $60 kilo. That's right. If you use Kratom, if you don't start on my account. But if you do Kratom, there's only one place in the world to get it from, and that's YoKratom.com. So stop going to bodegas, smoke shops, and gas stations where you don't even know what's in there. They don't know what the product is. YoKratom.com has the best strains, the best customer service, and they're the marquee sponsor of everything we do here at the network. And there's no promo code needed. Why? It's already the best deal in the world of Kratom. That's right. $60, a whole kilo. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into the show.
You're like a party guy. You party.
I have fun. Yeah. I have a good time.
Yeah, yeah. You don't anymore.
Nah, it has to be a big, like, if we were all out, like, say we were all on the road for, like, a couple weeks, and then it's like, we're nearing the end, and we're in a good city, and it's like, come on! And then I'm like, yeah. And then I'll turn on the gas, and then I'll be, yeah, it'll be 6 a.m., and then you're like, where are you? And I'm like, I don't know.
So basically, you just have to be invited.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ah.
But it's not just invited, it needs to be ceremonious. It needs to all come together.
It needs to be an event.
Yeah, if it was, like, the first day of tour, and you're like, we're going out to celebrate, I'd be like, nah. Right. You don't go out at the start. Yeah,
because you learn to pace yourself. Like, especially now that because I tour with wrestling too as an announcer.
Yeah,
I just want to go back to the room.
Yeah,
or just get back on the bus. Like,
dude,
the last thing I want is
like
fucking,
indie wrestling. Or
yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And the last thing I want is to fucking I'll buy a 30 rack for 10 people.
Yeah.
And we'll all have 3 beers and fucking part ways.
Yeah.
Because it's just fucking the sleep thing.
The sleep.
The older you get, the more like you can't do all nighters.
Yeah, you wanna go to bed. Going to bed's nice because you're like, oh, I'm gonna fuck up my tomorrow. I don't want to fuck up my tomorrow.
The tomorrow part is like
my tomorrow's fucked.
Yes.
That's something I started asking myself is how is tomorrow Zach gonna feel about this decision?
Oh, 100%.
So like I was leaving a bar in Brooklyn after a wrestling show.
Yeah.
And everybody was going back to a kid's apartment.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like 15 people and it was a one bedroom. And I'm like, this is going to suck.
Yeah. And then it's also you.
But you get caught up in the momentum. But then when you take yourself out of it, you're like, how am I going to feel about this tomorrow around noon?
Yeah.
I'm coming in.
Yeah. I don't even have to party. Like, if I just go to bed after 5, tomorrow's pretty done.
Yeah.
No drinking, no party.
Yeah, you just stay up too late?
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be rough.
I do that now with video games. I'll stay up late to like 2, 3 a.m. playing video games, and then I wake up and I'm like, oh, it's like I had 5 beers. My God, my brain, it hurts.
It was so funny. I was talking with Michael Che. We were talking at the cellar about going to sleep late. He was like, he goes to sleep late. But we were saying that it's such a huge difference from going to bed at 4 than it is at 6.
Oh yeah,
what? Like 4 is like manageable, but 6 just feels like it just went too far.
Why did I even bother?
Yeah,
for?
This went too far. This was not what I intended.
100%, dude. And now it's like you don't want to be like, I'm not out like pussy hounding or anything anymore. So it's like,
which is nice.
Yeah, it's so nice.
It's very nice.
That was the big motivator when you're younger.
Yeah,
it's like you stay out late, and then there's the later it gets, the more pussies down to fuck you. It seems like there's an equation there.
Yes,
and so if you're not chasing pussy, it's like, what am I even doing up at this hour? The food.
It's not that there's more women that want to fuck you, it's the ratio
is better
of women who probably would.
Goes up.
Yeah, yeah.
We're eliminating the fuddy-duddies.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. A chick who's up
They went to bed.
Or 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning is probably looking for dick.
More likely than not.
Yeah. Yes. And so then you're like, I'm getting closer to potential pussy. If you're not going for pussy, it's like, at 3 a.m., the food's not good. TV's not good. No one's up. I can't have a conversation. Like, what am I doing up?
Right.
What am I doing up? Right. Dude. Yeah. Just go to bed.
Yeah. It's so nice, like, when you, like, as you get older, when, like, you, like, start talking to guys and you're like, yeah, I don't need to do that anymore that much.
Yeah.
You know, every once in a while it's fun, but
I don't need to.
I'm good. I'm just going to go to bed. I think I'm chilling. I got to watch Real Time.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree. We didn't do plugs yet. Let's knock plugs right out. Ian, what do you want people to check out? You got a special?
Yeah, I got a special on YouTube, Material Boy, streaming right now. Check it out. Leave a comment. Let me know, Zach, Morning Zoo, sent you.
Awesome, Jay.
Check out my podcast, Two Goons. We're going to be live in L.A. At the Comedy Store on January 18th. You can also catch me at Stand Up Live in Phoenix on February 19th. Those are all the tour dates right now, but we got a big episode coming out. Angela White's going to be on the podcast.
Very, very nice. Guys, follow me on Instagram at Zach Is Not Funny. All my dates, punchup.live/ZachAmico. I will be in Toronto January 9th and 10th doing stand-up and a live midnight spook show. And New Year's Eve, I'll be in Columbus, Ohio with Lewis. And then that Friday and then that Saturday, we're at Bricky's in Miamisburg.
Mm-hmm.
So come on, hang out. And hey, if you like this show, go to Gas Digital. Use the promo code ZOO. You get your episodes early, ad-free, uncensored. You get the live chat. You get the archives, thousands of episodes of all your favorite guest shows. And you get the Friday show. That's right. We do 3 of these a week. If you want that bonus Friday show, you got to subscribe. Regardless, thank you so much for tuning in, and we really, truly appreciate you. All right. Did you guys see the Flyers announcer getting fired?
No.
For the blow me thing?
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah.
No, so the guy who announces for the Flyers did not know he was still on the air.
Nice.
And we have a clip. If you guys are in the booth, can pull it up. Really fucking made me laugh. And by the way, to me, this is not fireable.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
This is maybe.
This is like, hey, cut it out.
Yeah.
You get one. This is maybe a week suspension.
Yeah.
Also,
I thought he was suspended. Are you sure?
I believe it might be fired.
Because when I saw
him,
he was suspended.
No, now it's suspended. All right, maybe they took it to suspension instead.
Yeah, I saw he was suspended.
While you're down there, would you mind blowing me?
That's it. That's...
I think we're still on the air, Tim.
He's gonna laugh.
Are we?
Who is he saying it to?
I'm sometimes sure somebody was like working on the.
Was it
somebody's
a
probably
girl,
plugging
though?
Shit in? I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, if it was a guy, it's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. If it's a guy, yeah. If it's a dude, who
I'd imagine it was somebody like plugging mics in or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, it's the sound guy, and you know him, you see him every day, and you do a blowing me joke. Yeah.
The funny thing is that he still had his announcer voice.
Yeah. You're right. He did. Like, would you mind blowing me?
Yeah. Because that to me is the funny part. Because you know they always talk about how Bob Uecker had the cough button.
Oh, no. What was the cough?
Norman and Artie would talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Because they became friends with him.
Yeah.
But Bob Uecker, when he would announce games, he had a cough button.
Yeah.
And so he would, like, talk shit. So he'd be like, you know, all right, and that's a second. He'd like, go around that, and then fucking hit the button and be like, look at the fucking legs on her. And he would just be talking about all the bitches of the game.
Dude, yeah, that's great, dude. There is some nice tail at a fucking game usually, dude. But yeah, I don't think this guy should get fired for that, especially it's Philly.
Yeah.
Dude, blow me in Philly?
Yeah, that's pretty.
That's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, it could be much worse.
The Flyers used to be the most horrendous team ever in hockey. They were like known when they were the worst, like it was in the 60s or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were like evil. They were known for being like ruthless. And so it's like, yeah, you're
announcing. And Philly's the meanest town.
Yeah.
They threw batteries at Santa.
They threw batteries at Santa?
Oh, that's a famous Philly thing. Yeah, they fucking, they were like booed Santa and they started throwing batteries.
Why?
And shit at him.
Where was this? At a parade?
Can you guys look it up? No, it was at a game.
At a game. Santa came out and they threw batteries.
They brought Santa out and they booed the shit out of him.
Batteries is such a specific thing, too. And it's such a good thing to throw. It's hard and small. You can whip a battery.
Yeah, you
good.
Can really.
Yeah.
There's a few famous Philly, like boos everybody.
Oh, yeah. They fucking hate Santa. Who hates Santa, dog?
No, Philly. Yeah. I remember I was doing the DC Improv and the Mets was playing the Phillies in the playoffs. And I was driving back Sunday and I was telling like the bartender, I'm like, I think I'm going to try to get tickets to the game on my way up. And the bartender was like, because I'm a Mets fan, he's like, dude, you can't do this. Like, he was like concerned for my health. He's like, you can't go by yourself. Like, and I'm like, it's just a game. I watch. He's like, no, you can't go with that hat. They're going to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, I think baseball's like, okay, hockey's okay, but the worst is football.
Football's bad.
Yeah. If you're like wearing any other colors and you go to an Eagles game, I think it's Bill Burr tells a story about a guy like puking on a guy's son or something like that. Like, what the fuck? Dude, Philly's disgusting, man. But they like it. They like being disgusting.
Yes.
Like, it's part of their soul.
I think it's one of those things where they had the reputation and then decided to just go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, what, are they going to fix the city up? No, dude, it's Philadelphia. It's like, just let it stay decrepit. That's got to be nice as a mayor when the city's shit and their identity is being shit. So it's like, you're not fixing anything. And he's like, yeah, that's what we do. We just kind of live in a shithole. Huh? Isn't it fun?
But Philly, I will say, the bad parts of Philly are like horrifying bad.
Yeah.
The only worst place I think I've been is, Oakland.
Yemen. Oh, sorry.
Oakland.
Oakland? I've never been to Oakland.
Oakland's fucking tough.
Yeah.
I did San Francisco and they were like, don't cross the bridge.
No?
On this side, yeah.
Yeah, I was doing shows in San Francisco and then it was when I was still playing music. And we went to go do a show in Oakland and it was... And San Francisco's a dump. Once you get to the tenderloin,
yeah,
it is worse than the... Imagine if the under the bridge parts of Austin
yeah.
were just in the street.
Just everywhere, yeah, yeah. yeah. That's like Maine and Hastings in Vancouver. It's just like a mile of homelessness, and they just like tent outside and
like
stuff.
Like broad daylight, yeah. like heroin.
Yeah, yeah, everywhere, just... yeah.
And Oakland was, yeah, Oakland fucking stunk.
Yeah, okay, and Oakland was worse.
Parts of the... Where we were was pretty fucking bad.
Damn. All right. Well, don't go to Oakland.
Yeah, but even when we did the Tenderloin, my Uber driver dropped me 3 blocks.
Oh, yeah?
From the bar and said, I don't go any further.
Oh, really?
I don't go any further. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's not even traffic. It's just like an open road. And he's like, this is where I stop.
This is where you get off.
Yeah. It was bad. And then the host was like, you can stay with me. And we're like, where do you live? He's like, a block away. They're like, fuck no.
No, yeah. You're like, uh-uh. No, we're going back to San Francisco.
I'll take the I'll take the fucking heat. I'll fucking buy a room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Oh, shit.
Hey, guys, real quick, you ever wake up in the morning and just feel soft, like your coffee is warming your hands, but not doing a damn thing for your balls or your brain? Well, that's why they created Body Brain Coffee. It's not just coffee. It's coffee with purpose, specifically testosterone. Packed with clinically backed ingredients, this isn't your girlfriend's oat milk latte. This is for men who want to get their edge back in the gym, in the boardroom, and yeah, in the bedroom too. And it's not just about tea. Body Brain is also built to dial in your focus, clarity, and mood thanks to lion's mane, ashwagandha, and L-theanine. So while your basic brew is giving you the jitters and a crash, Body Brain Coffee is helping you stay sharp, calm, and locked in, all while supporting your natural testosterone levels. If you're serious about your energy, your mindset, and your masculinity, it starts with what you put in your cup. You can save 15% today with the promo code ZOO15 at bodybraincoffee.com. That's ZOO15 at bodybraincoffee.com. Powerbraincoffee.com. Power your day. Fuel your drive. Let's get back into the show. That was the first time I saw the spikes. The
homeless spikes?
They came out. There was like a Kohl's and a something else, and yeah. we watched them come out of the ground.
Oh, what's the spikes?
They'll put spikes on the sidewalk. So that people can't camp out.
Yeah.
And they come out the ground?
Yeah, when the store closes at night.
Oh, that's like in front of the store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, they like hit a thing.
Oh,
yeah.
So
that people, because basically once they're camped out, that's the bitch.
Yeah.
Is getting them out.
Dude, I stayed in Montreal. And Montreal, there's like one area where it's like the gay village. I was staying like right next to there. And it prior to, I think it was like 5 years ago, one of the most expensive, nicest areas in Montreal. But then they moved to like methadone clinics over there. And just every homeless person just like went to this area. Because if you're there, you're like, everything here is nice except for the homelessness. It's like there's multiple subway stops, multiple grocery stores, tons of really good restaurants. But there was a bunch of stores that had like they closed their shit down. And I guess they have these gates they close. And I guess there's a homeless guy who is like he did a bunch of drugs and then slept on the inside of the gate. And then when the place closed, they're like, well, we're just closing you in here. And then he woke up and was like in there and was like, I'm fucking stuck in this cage, dude. Yeah. He's just like, they're like, well, we're not waking you up. We're dragging you out. They were just like, we're leaving you French style.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to.
Yeah, you
don't want to startle them.
No.
That's probably not advisable.
No, not at all, dude. No.
Years ago when I worked on a movie, a kid took a bus from Albuquerque to Buffalo to come work on the movie.
Yeah.
And when we had to go pick him up, and they were just like, yeah, he's going to be your art department.
Yeah.
They told us nothing about him.
Yeah.
And in nicest terms possible, crusty homeless kid gets off the bus.
Yeah.
And we realize that's who's staying with us.
Yeah.
And he goes, can we go to like a Dollar Tree? I've been wearing the same socks this whole trip.
Oh, geez, Louise, man.
Right.
Yeah.
And this kid stunk so, dude, he fell asleep in front of a fan.
Yeah.
Like our first or second night. We had to air out the house.
Oh, no.
The fans out the door because the whole house. Stunk.
Did you tell him like, hey, we gotta wash you.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were pretty clear about it.
Yeah.
And he was not kind about it.
Really?
But the thing was, so he was like a boxcar hobo.
Yeah.
Like he would like, you know, ride the rails and shit.
Yeah.
So he was like, hey, if you guys ever need to wake me up, like, do it from across the room. Because I'm used to sleeping where guys, like, you know, try and, like, rape you and stuff. So if you try and, like, nudge me awake or, like, slap me awake, I'll attack you. And then they're like, Zach, you can room with him. I'm like, fuck.
Jesus.
What was his job on the movie?
Fired, technically. He said he was going to be the art department.
Yeah.
Or he was going to be the art director. He wanted to be the art director.
Yeah.
We quickly came to the conclusion that we needed someone else.
Yeah.
Where'd you find this kid?
He just, we were working on a movie and it was very like DIY and he was a fan of the people that made it. And he was like, hey, I'll come out and work on it. And basically the way that company works is like, if you're willing to work, we'll they'll house you.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out a job for you.
Yeah. Got it.
But he showed up and it was, you quickly found out why he was in the position he was in.
Yeah.
Because he was just lazy. Like, yeah. We'd be like, hey, do this. And he'd be like, all right, done. But it not really.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't. He didn't put any work.
And he put no work into anything.
You think it's like you just got a job where they're housing you and shit. And you can kind of have this opportunity. You have access to like a shower and stuff. Yeah, and you might be like, oh, fuck yeah, this is great.
And then, yeah, we had to fire him because he went to a part. So we all had, you know, like staff badges for the movie, like camp crew badges.
Yeah.
And he went to a party and got so drunk that he passed out in the corner and then took his dick out and started pissing in his own face while he was asleep. And he had his crew badge on with the name of the production. And somebody put it on MySpace.
Oh, no. No, dude.
How'd you guys fire? You had to fire him from across the room?
Yeah. It's like, oh, fucking.
No, dude, oh, this kid was such a fucking. This kid was so bad at life.
That's so we have terrible, to fire man. Him.
So, you know, they bought him a bus ticket back.
Yeah.
So that's a couple days.
Yeah.
And I think they gave him $100.
Okay. Yeah.
And said, here, this way you can eat.
Yeah.
And stuff on your way back. And he went to an art store and bought $100 worth of pens and pencils and pads and went, I'll steal food on the way.
What's he going to do with the pens and pencils?
Yeah, why not steal the pens and pads?
Yeah, yeah.
It made no sense to me.
He respects art way too much. It's the only thing he respects.
And then, like, he kept trying to undo it. Like, he put out a petition, and we were like, dude, we're grown-ups.
Yeah.
And then he tried to do the thing because he had brought stuff.
Yeah.
And he put it all over the place to act like he couldn't find it.
Yeah.
He was like trying. It's like when you can't get a chick to leave.
Yeah, because she's like, "Oh no, where's my hair tie? Where's this?" And it's like, "Yeah, get the fuck out of my
house." Yeah, maybe I should just leave tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, no, get out.
How long did this last?
Like a day.
A day. He was only there for like a day.
No, well, no, he was on the movie for probably a week and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, he had to go.
Yeah,
geez. And then it was so fun. So he made like shit little like the same like, real super low budget like no budget movies.
Yeah.
With his friends, and that's how he was like in the film industry.
Yeah.
There was some horror channel years ago on the internet, they would do like 24-hour horror movie marathons.
Yeah.
And I saw one of my movies that I made in college.
Oh, on there.
Was in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I wonder how they saw it.
Yeah.
And I wonder who. And I contacted him, I'm like, hey, this is my movie. That's super cool. Yeah. You guys, of course, can play it. I don't give a shit. How did you hear about it? They're like, oh, this guy sold it to us. It was him.
Oh, he sold it? Like a DVD
he
copy?
He had a DVD copy I had. He copied it, said he made it.
And had been selling it.
And had been selling the rights to screen it. So in a package with like three movies him and his friends made, he put my movies in there too.
Oh, imagine my that he, like, God.
And was
dude.
Selling my movie. Yeah.
That's so funny.
He
that's
runs Netflix
so
now.
Funny.
He's like the head of Netflix.
Dude,
in the horror department.
That's the thing you learn about some people who are like, You go like, you're like, he was lazy. He didn't want to do the work. But it's almost like you just don't want to do the work you're told to do. Because to do that, that's quite a crafty thing to understand. Good. I wouldn't even think of doing something like, how do I sell the rights to a movie?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, if you just reapply that craftiness and you won't be in the position you're in.
But you could say that with you with the test. Why'd you make the cheat code? You could just study.
But I was young. Yeah. I've learned.
But that's better, though. It's better than the actual thing sometimes.
Yeah,
like, that's way more crafty what he did than him, like, I don't know.
But I mean, that's also the history of film.
Yeah.
Is people stealing shit from each other.
Yeah, like, fair. But you are right. Why didn't I just do the test? Yeah. Why didn't I just study?
Because you're smarter than most people.
Like, the whole... King Kong versus Godzilla, the first one.
Yeah.
The guy that sold that movie owned neither property.
Oh, really? Wow. Good for him.
Yeah. Sounds...
And just bullshitted his way into, we're going to make the movie. And then they backwards got it.
Oh.
Because I believe, I could be wrong, I think at one point it was supposed to be King Kong versus Frankenstein.
Okay. Which is like, I don't know if that works at all.
Yeah, they were going to make Frankenstein big. And then it changed something else. And then he just went in, I think, and was like, what about Godzilla?
Yeah.
And they're like, sold.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I own that.
Yeah. I own
Somebody's
that.
Like a Japanese, right?
No, he said that he was like the American distributor.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it was totally bullshit. And then once they started making it, they realized they had to buy the rights.
Yeah. Dude, okay.
You used to make like horror films?
Like super low budget, like... $250,000. Yeah, like
that's a
little...
super low budget.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For a movie, yeah.
Dude, there's did you see that one they're making? It's a short film called Portrait of God.
No, tell me.
Oh, it's pretty good. The short film's only like 7 minutes, but they're gonna now make it into a full length movie. And it's this girl, she's practicing for presentation, and she's like, I'm gonna show you a image of a photo that people say they see God's face in. And she's doing the presentation. She's like, if you see nothing, most people see nothing, but some people say they see God. And then she plays some recordings of people who say they see God, and then you see the face slowly like appears. And then it's only 7 minutes, so it's worth checking out.
I'll definitely check that out.
And so for 250, could you make like a 7 minute, or could you make like a full length?
Oh, we made two.
Two full length movies with
back to back with we made one long movie
and then cut it in half
and did some reshoots.
Damn. But the Blair Witch, that was like an indie movie.
That's
right?
An anomaly. Well, that's also found footage. But yeah, that was like $20,000.
Yeah, the other
one, Paranormal Activity. Did
that was
too?
Also
those are all super. Those that's super low. Yeah, those would be. I don't think there's even like. A SAG option for that low.
But those are also from a different time. Where, like, back when Blair Witch and Paranormal Activity came out, there was this, like, rumory thing around it. Like, is it real?
There was novelty to it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that wasn't the genre.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, a lot of people do found footage because it's the cheapest, or not cheapest.
What's found footage?
That's like Blair Witch, like where
it looks like it's on a video.
The camera is supposed to be there.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
As opposed to like a narrative film where they don't know there's a camera there. But yeah, it was a company that's been around for like 50 years, and I worked for them for about 10 years. I still do shit with them, and I'm at the point now where I get to just be a day player, and I'm always like a 1 or 2 day character. In a bunch of shitty movies.
Nice.
I want to have one of those IMDb's.
That's like crazy.
That's like 150 movies.
Yeah.
And no one's seen them. They're all garbage.
That's cool, though. That's cool as hell.
That just makes me like, and all my credit, like, dude, my credits are so funny. It'll be like, just be like, masturbating pig zombie.
That's fucking, no, but that is awesome, dude. Working in movies and shit.
So you've done movies where like you watch it and you're like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I can think of a couple. I mean, I love them. I love low budget movies. I love horror movies. I'm in a few where I'm like, this is a tough watch.
Yeah, dog shit. This is
And I've seen other ones where I have friends in them, where I'm like, I can't believe how bad. Like, I have friends that are in an asylum movie, the Sci-Fi Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That is so fucking bad. It's called Battle Dogs.
Yeah.
And it's a werewolf movie. And it they really spent money on it.
Oh, no.
And it is such horseshit.
Dude.
But yeah, I'm in a few that are like maybe a $100 movie.
Ooh, $100 movie.
Just a crazy person with a camera, and I'll be like, yeah, I'll do that.
Oh, dude, I love that. I fucking love that. So where does that go?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Go it goes on fucking
Netflix.
Prime.
Oh, Prime will take anything, right?
It goes on Prime. It goes on shit like Tubi.
Tubi.
So there's movies that like have a million dollar budget that you never hear about. Like unless you're into that scene, you'll never know about it.
100%. Yeah. Tons.
I always thought like $1 million would be like a big, like a movie that would go to theaters or like that.
No, a million's pretty low.
Yeah, like, damn. What's it called? Get Out is like a super low budget movie, and that's like $9 million. And that's like, but the good thing about horror is, for the most part, horror is quite cheap to make. You can make a horror movie, like, you'd be like a $20 million budget, or like,
and people will see it because they want to see a horror movie.
Yeah. They like the genre. And so, like, that's why they made like tons of the Paranormal Activities, tons of the Saw, because they cost not that much to make. And then you make, like, if you spend $30 million in a movie, but it makes fucking $100 million. Like, your ratio is so good. Versus, like, if you make Superman and it's $500 million and then you make $600 million. It's like, we're kind of making the same cash.
Right. I find, like, when Hollywood took those movies, it got worse, though, right? Everybody agrees with that.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. But, like, sometimes I do movies that I'm convinced they're not going to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they will match my rate.
Yeah.
And I don't got to do much.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, and then it comes out.
And then every once in a while they come out. Yeah. And I'm like, ah, shit. I wish that was one that didn't.
Yeah.
I can think of one I did. He was a really sweet kid. I think he was like a fan of maybe comedy in general or horror or whatever. He knew me from shit.
Yeah.
And he hit me up and he's like, I want you to do this to be like a Crypt Keeper type character for an anthology movie. He's like, I can fly you out to wherever he lives somewhere. And I was like, if I'm going to need a cop, you're going to need to fly me out. You're going to need to put me up and pay me. He's like, well, what if I just came to New York and rented a studio? Would you do it for that? And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I showed up, and it was literally like just this kid and a guy with a camera and a girl, the girlfriend of the guy with the camera.
Yeah.
That was the whole production. And I worked for a day. I did all my lines. And I was like, that's cool, man. So, like, when are you shooting the story? Because I was introducing each story.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I don't know. He's like, I'm probably going to outsource it. I went, what do you mean? He's like, oh, I'm just going to, like, hire people in other countries to make it for cheap.
Yeah.
You can do this, too?
I guess. I mean, and then I just did it, and I got my money, and it was fine, and I was like, oh, it's like shit.
Yeah.
And then, well, whatever. And then he emailed me, like, a year later, and he's like, hey, I actually did it.
Yeah.
Just so you know, the content greatly changed, and there's some, like, very risky sexual elements. Are you okay with that? I was like, eh, well, you own it, so.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, whatever. I signed off on it. Yeah.
I fucking signed the contract, so go ahead.
Dude, you should take all these scenes you've done in movies and, like, use them as, like, a hook on, like, social. Like, post, like, the shittiest clip possible and then be like, I did this movie and this story was this, 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 and this. That's super interesting. Like, I worked on, like, 100 low-budget shitty movies. That's so cool.
I would like to make a reel soon because I have a few things that I really like and a few things that are... I worked on an Italian movie that's maybe the least sensical thing. I've never seen a movie that I got less.
Oh, yeah. It just was like fucking...
Like, you didn't understand
no
the plot, you're saying?
I couldn't tell you...
What the fuck?
A goddamn thing. Because it was written in Italian, translated into English, not well.
Yeah.
There was an Italian actress in it who speaks Italian in the movie.
Yeah.
And then they dubbed her, but everyone else is speaking English.
That's insane. What the fuck?
But her dad was the financier.
Oh, okay. So he's like, you're putting my daughter in this movie.
And she was like a famous model or something.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
And I just remember one of the crew members was like, I think I'm going to ask her out to dinner.
Yeah.
And the AD goes, no, her father, he wear a white suit. And we're like, what does that mean? He goes, he fucking killed people. And we're like, oh, we're making a mob movie.
Oh.
We're making a mob-financed movie.
Yeah. Dude, I totally, like, all you do is just shoot, like, a bunch of storytelling stuff in front of the green screen and then have, like, the footage playing in the background and then just fucking chop it up. It's, like, super easy to do. And you already have, the hardest part is shooting these shitty movies. Yeah, you have it all.
How does one raise $1 million to shoot a shitty movie?
Over the years, people have found many ways.
Okay.
Either you save up. Some people have rich parents.
Yeah.
Some people form, like, a company and get investors.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch a lot of, like, 70s and 80s movies, there'll be, like, 10 producers all named Patel.
Oh, and that's all, they're just all, those are all the fucking
fine. They're all doctors and dentists.
Yeah.
Because what you used to do back in the day is you would call or show up at lawyers, doctors, dentists with a presentation.
Yeah.
And you go, listen, we're going to form this company. We're going to make this movie.
Yeah.
If you donate $20,000, $40,000, we're projected that you will get triple your money back.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you get like 15 of those, and then your movie bombs and you burn them all.
So it's a good business model.
That I know you can do the crowdfunding thing, and then some actors who are actually like semi-legitimate names are like there's Mad Mikkelsen's in this one movie that's like dog shit that I watched. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, because you would probably get him for like $500K. Like, which is like, that's not a small amount of change, but acting wise, not crazy money.
Yeah.
So you get a budget that's like, you get $2 million, $3 million, and then you go $500K is just for the star.
Yeah.
And then the rest, we try and make the movie happen.
I was working on something that didn't happen, but we were very close to making a movie. And we had been my friends had been shopping around this concept for a while. And at one point, through contacts, Nicolas Cage read. Was talking to them.
Yeah.
And it was a matter of, we can shoot this starting next week.
Yeah.
But we need to wire. It was going to be a $750,000 movie.
Yeah.
And Nick Cage was $500,000 on it.
Yeah.
And it was like, you got to wire to him tonight.
Yeah.
And he'll clear his schedule.
Yeah.
And they're like, does he want a script? And he's like, no. This is when he was like in tax trouble.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But he's like, what? He does this crazy. And we'll get out of here in a second, Chad. I apologize.
Oh no. I think we're doing good. We're doing good.
He does this thing because he's had tax issues.
Yeah, because he's buying like dinosaur bones and haunted houses.
But if you buy certain art and shit, and you take a huge loss on it,
yeah,
you can write it off.
Okay.
So they think he was buying ridiculous shit on purpose.
To be like, oh, I'm taking losses on all these things.
That I took a lot, because he was buying like crazy shit.
Yeah, yeah. Comic books, all sorts of weird shit, yeah.
So that he could say, and then the economy tanked.
Yeah.
And I lost all the money on these valuable things I bought.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, he's crazy like a fox.
Yeah, and he also, his perspective on acting is, I think, a really good one, where he's like, yeah, I'm a working actor. They're like, you're doing these shitty movies. He's like, no, I'm doing movies. I take jobs as a working actor. And like, no, you're a movie star. And he's like, no, whatever you want, I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah, because
it's
fair,
like,
too. It's
dude,
like a comic kind of.
Yeah, he's like, I'm working the road. Yeah. I'm doing.
But
this.
But he's got so for every shitty movie he's got,
he's got a banger.
There's another. So he's got Mandy, Pig, the Mom and Dad movie,
the Raising Arizona.
Oh no! I'm just talking the recent ones.
Okay, yeah.
He's Bad Lieutenant 2. Like, he's just got crazy good ones mixed in there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Have you seen Mandy?
No, I saw Pig, though. I watched Pig. I did like Pig. It didn't blow me away. He was really good in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was at the end, it I liked the message of it.
Yeah.
I won't spoil Pig.
I didn't like Long Legs.
I heard Long Legs was ass.
Yeah, I did not care for it. But
yeah.
Mandy is the one.
Mandy's the one.
So
okay.
Mandy is, and we'll end on this, Mandy... couldn't recommend it more.
Yeah, okay.
It's Nick Cage is a sober guy living in the middle of nowhere with his chick.
Yeah.
Basically, a satanic biker gang comes into town.
Yeah.
sees the store they work at.
Yeah.
Breaks into his house, kidnaps his chick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
He now has to go get her.
Like John Wick style?
More or less. They kill her.
Okay. Oh, sure.
So he drinks an entire bottle of vodka on the toilet.
Yeah.
Nick Cage's shit. Just yeah. screaming and drinking.
Yeah.
And then starts doing every drug known to man
and goes
to go kill all these bikers.
Oh, that does sound fire.
The movie's visuals
yeah.
match what he's taking
oh,
in each thing.
Oh, that's sick, dude.
So when he does coke, the movie kind of speeds up.
Yeah.
He does acid and the movie starts to get wobbly.
Yeah.
It's a banger.
Dude.
Mandy.
So, have you ever seen Chainsaw Man?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so did you see the Chainsaw Man movie?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that, when the fight scenes in that movie where it gets super psychedelic and they're fighting in the apartment, or not the apartment building, the office building, and it like changes the art style and shit, I was like, this is the coolest shit I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah,
dog.
If you like that, you'll love Mandy.
That's fucking exactly what I thought of when you were
Boom.
Saying that, dude.
All right, so. Awesome. Thank you. Guys, please. We're going to end here. Please check out Ian Lyra's new special, Material Boy, now
yes,
on
sir.
YouTube.
It's Listen fire, to dude. You got to check it out.
Thank you.
Very,
man.
Very
thank
funny
you.
Guy. Thank you guys so much, and happy holidays. We'll see you on Wednesday. Bye.
The fun's begun, no sleeping in. Noon is morning time to him. Pop a bagel, chug it down, just like your favorite Obese clown. Grab a coffee and join the crew.